I don't want to get into the all the conversation that we had, but we name names. We identified people that are wicked, and they have nefarious intentions, right? And so you look at how long are they going to get away with this? Well, you know, if they're alive, when the tribulation starts, they're going to face the wrath of the Lamb. And you know, that's what I told my wife. I said they're gonna face the wrath of the Lamb, and if they're not alive, they will be facing the judgment of God in Hades. So either way, you know, these nefarious people, unless they accept Christ, they're not gonna escape.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching minister, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the seventh seal. So let's join Dr. Galais for the first half of the seventh seal.
All right, we're going to be looking at this seventh seal, and we've looked at the first six seals in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. And I keep going back to chapter 5 because I think it's important to realize this seriousness of these seals being opened. When you think about all heaven stopped, and as they searched high and low for someone who was worthy to take the scroll and loose the seals. And we see that the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the earth, that he was worthy to come and take the scroll and loosen the seals. And all heaven broke out in praise. The 24 elders, the living creatures, the angelic beings, all of heaven broke out in a praise, because the Lamb was worthy to take the scroll and loose the seals. And then over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the first six seals. You remember the first four dealt with the four riders. They call them the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which represented the Antichrist, which represented bloodshed, which represented famine, and which represented death. And then we looked at the martyred saints, and we looked at some devastating events that will take place here on this earth. So now we come to the seventh seal, and we see in the seventh seal, it's actually composed of seven trumpets. And so we will look at six of these trumpets, because when we get to the seventh trumpet, we see that out of the seventh trumpet comes seven bowls, or seven vial judgments. So, you know, these seem to go in a progressive order. And, you know, the seventh seal opens the seven trumpets, and the seven trumpets opens the seven vials. So that's where we are in our study today. Now, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along with us, we're going to begin in Revelation chapter 8. In verse 1. Now, you may notice that we covered Revelation 6, and then we jumped over Revelation 7. And we see in Revelation 7, and we'll go back and study that, but that's it seems to be an interlude in Revelation 7 as it deals with the anointing of the 144,000. Okay, so that is kind of inserted in there between Revelation 6 and Revelation 8. So if it wasn't for that insertion of the 144,000, we probably would be in Revelation 7. But because of that insertion, that we move to Revelation 8. So it says in Revelation 8:1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, okay, so we've opened six of them already. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Now, there's been a lot of speculation as to why this silent pause took place. Let me give you three explanations as to what could have been the reason for this silence. Now, think about this. I'll go back and I'll share this. I remember when I first came to Bethany. I'll never forget that first Sunday I preached at Bethany. Man, it was quiet. I mean, it was deathly quiet. You know, you ever hear that expression? It was so quiet that you could hear a pin drop. And that's how quiet it was. And, you know, I came from preaching at a church down south where, you know, the people were lively, where they talk back to you. And there was a lot of interaction going on. And I remember after I had been there for maybe a year or so, and some people came in who didn't, you know, they shouted amen, and they made some noise. And I remember somebody came up to me and they said, Pastor, it's getting kind of noisy in here. So I knew what they meant. You know, it was quiet. Now it's getting a little noisy in here. People saying amen and people clapping and people shouting. I'll never forget that. And so can you imagine that in heaven, you know, you had all this noise, right? But it's a beautiful noise. If you go back and it says here, now tell me if this is not going to be noisy, right? Tell me if this is not going to be noisy. And I'm in Revelation 5, verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. All right. Not one angel, but many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the number of them. Look at this. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands in Revelation 5, verse 11. Now look at this. And they said with a loud voice. Now the word loud is the Greek word mega. And the word voice is the Greek word phoné. So what word do you think we get from that? That's right. What? Megaphone, right? Megaphone. So I'm not saying that these people in heaven are going to have a megaphone. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, when you go to a football game, people got a megaphone and they're shouting loud, you know, trying to stir people on, trying to excite them. And so we see here that the choir, the song in heaven was like a megaphone, right? A loud noise. And it said, worthy is the Lamb. Now, again, this is not a worthy is the Lamb. That was, it's not that. It's a loud noise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all them heard I saying, again, with a loud voice, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like that's kind of noisy to me, right? And then all of a sudden, the noise is stopped in Revelation 8 in verse 1. And there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Now, why was there this silence? Well, these are some of the suggestions that have been offered. Someone said it was out of deep respect for the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne, that they have been worshiping the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne. And then all of a sudden they just stopped to just honor and give him glory and to respect him. So that was the one offering as to why there was silence for a half hour. Somebody else said, well, their somber reflection on the revelation of the first six seals. that when you go back and look at the six seals that had already been broken, that all of heaven stopped and just began to reflect on those six seals and what actually had just taken place. But now this is the theory that I would kind of hold to, and that is a silent pause to think about the severity of the actions about to be taken, right? God is getting ready to step this thing up. You know, he's getting ready to let all hell break loose. And so somebody said, you know, you ever hear the expression, the calm before the storm? Well, some people say that the reason for this silence was because it was the calm before the storm. God is about to take severe actions upon this earth. Now, John is getting ready to explain to us what he saw. Notice again in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 2. And I saw seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So John is caught up into the presence of God, and God reveals these things to him. And so John is getting ready to tell us what he saw. Now, in looking at these chapters, some commentators believe, because some of this stuff that we're getting ready to look at is wild, man. I mean, it's wild. And so some people believe that John was looking at modern technology, and he was trying to describe it in the language of his day. So, you know, just say that John saw a missile coming across the sky, you know, with the little fire coming out of the back. And so if John was trying to explain that, John didn't know anything about missiles. John didn't know anything about tanks. He didn't know anything about airplanes. And so if this was the stuff that John was seeing, he's doing his best to try to explain to us what he's seen. So some of this, you know, may be modern technology. Some of it, you know, we might look at literally. But as we go through this, let us try to understand what John is saying. So he says in verse 7 that the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So again, he sees fire and hail that comes from the sky. Now this could possibly be a meteorite, right? Notice that he said it was mixed with blood, all right? So quite possibly, this is symbolic of the blood of those who had been martyred, right? That God is sending this meteorite, or again, you know, maybe John is trying to put it in terminology that he understood, and he was trying to explain it. But just think, if this is a meteorite, right, and it says that it has blood, well, whose blood would it be? John said it looked like, you know, blood. Well, when we go back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, we see, and he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. So these saints had been martyred. So maybe this is their blood that God is using this meter to strike the earth. Because now remember, what did they say? What did they say? They said, how long, oh Lord, how long before you will avenge? Oh, wow, look at this. In Revelation 6 and verse 10, how long before you will avenge our blood on the earth? Okay, how long will it be before you avenge our blood on the earth. So a lot of commentators believe that the reference to blood here is the fact that God is answering the prayer of those martyred saints when they prayed for God to avenge their blood. So we see that the first trumpet is blown and there's fire and hell mixed with blood. Then we see the second trumpet. Again, John could be explaining something that he was trying to describe he had never seen before, or maybe, you know, we can look at this in a literal sense. In Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7, and the second angel sounded, and it were as a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, again, if this is not some modern technology that John is explaining, some people say, well, maybe he's describing a volcano. Because if you look, it says that it was a great mountain. And where do volcanoes come from? They come from mountains. And it said it was burning with fire. And what comes out of those mountains during a volcano is fire. You know, fire comes out. Now, that's one possibility. Another possibility is if it's an asteroid that's hitting the sea, what would happen there? It would cause a tsunami. And I don't know if you've ever seen a tsunami. You know, they've got pictures of tsunamis, and, you know, we've been alive during our day when there's been tsunamis. I mean, and it's just like a wall of water. I mean, and there's nothing you can do. I mean, it's just, you know, a tsunami starts out in the ocean, right? And it's like a tidal wave that just comes and comes up on land and just wipes out everything. And so maybe that's why a third of the sea, you know, the ships were destroyed. A third of the life in the sea was destroyed. So God is serious. And we need to realize that this is the wrath of the Lamb and the one who sat on the throne. This is their wrath. You know, me and my wife were talking this morning, and we were talking about wicked people on this earth. And there's some wicked people on this earth. I don't want to get into all the conversation that we had, but we named names. We identified people that are wicked, and they have nefarious intentions, right? And so you look at how long are they going to get away with this? Well, you know, if they're alive, when the tribulation starts, they're going to face the wrath of the Lamb. And, you know, that's what I told my wife. I said, they're going to face the wrath of the Lamb. And if they're not alive, they will be facing the judgment of God in Hades. So either way, you know, these nefarious people, unless they accept Christ, they're not going to escape. So we see that the second trumpet was a great mountain ablaze with fire, is what John seems to be describing. Then the third trumpet in verses 10 and 11, it says, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood or bitter, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So this star falls from the sky, and the name of this star is called Wormwood. And the word wormwood actually means bitter. So again, what is it that's hitting this earth? You know, could be you know, a meteorite, a star, whatever it is, you know, it's going to affect the world's water supply. And this star is poisonous. So it's not only bitter, but it's poisonous. And when people drink, if they drink, you know, because if you look again, you know, it says that that these waters became bitter. So if they do drink, they will die. So, you know, the indication is here that a third of the waters will not even be good for consumption, that you won't even be able to drink them. So again, saints, keep in mind, you know, all the things over all the years that people have thought that they got away with, you know, God is going to pour his wrath out upon the earth. Now, you know, we are studying these seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vial judgments. But again, like I said, in Revelation, and maybe as they put the book of Revelation together, God intentionally put chapter 7 in there to talk about these 144,000 witnesses. They're not Jehovah witnesses. They are witnesses of the gospel. And maybe God put that in there in between to say that, you know, people are still going to be getting saved, that, you know, there's people will still, and again, like I said last week, I believe that people who are alive now, that if they enter into the tribulation, I don't think they're going to get saved. You know, I would base that on that passage that I read last week in 2 Thessalonians, that those unsaved people that enter the tribulation period, that they're not going to get saved. So there will be people who haven't heard, or, you know, who haven't been presented with the gospel. You know, I believe that those individuals, when those 144,000 Jewish evangelists, when they go throughout the earth to witness, I believe that those individuals will have a chance to receive Christ. But those who rejected Christ during this time, they will face the wrath of the Lamb. And so we see here that there won't even be water to drink. You know, they won't even have drinking water. That's how bad things are going to be. All right. Then we see the fourth trumpet is found in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 12. And it says that the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So we see that during this time period also, one third of the heavenly lights will be darkened. And so that will cause one third of the day and night to be without light. Now, when you think about the fact that there's no light, you know, this affects a couple things. You know, this may affect the temperature on the earth, because what causes the temperatures to heat up on the earth is what? The sun. So if the sun is going to be darkened, then, you know, the temperatures on earth may be cool. So, you know, as we go through this, we're going to see that they go from extreme.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the seventh seal. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Seventh Seal, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Seventh Seal. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Seventh Seal from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.